Our God is awesome.
Yes,
He's
he is.
awesome and great. We are going to continue the lesson that we started. What was that? I don't know. Cultivating. Basically, we're talking about the heart is God's, your heart is God's garden. We're going to continue to talk about that. This is part three. Of this, then we're going to, particularly we're going to talk about cultivating the heart for a harvest. So we're going to get into that. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today with these, your people. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered and unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances. Lord, I thank you that you're thinking through my mind and speaking through my vocal cord. You know the needs of these, your people today, not I. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Let the people say, man, we went back to old school, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's get on here. We thank you for the joy of the Lord. He's
Amen.
He's always in our sanctuary. He's always present. And I thank him for that. So, cultivating the heart for a harvest. I want to give you the definition of when I say cultivating. We pretty much know what it means to cultivate. But I want you to understand what the Lord has been speaking in my spirit as we embark on this teaching. It's yielding to God's way of preparation. It's important. We're yielding to God's way of preparation. We are made ready to bear the fruit of his word for our good and for the good of the others. So he has a specific way that he does this in our hearts. So we must always remember that God is preparing our hearts to produce the fruits of his word. Now, I have there, seed is in the fruit. The enemy doesn't want you to produce fruit because seed is in the fruit. And when you have seed, you have multiplication or reproduction. So that's what he fights most people in to keep them from getting fruits in a truth of his word. All right. So we do this through labor, care, and study of the word. The Holy Spirit, as we study the word, the Holy Spirit refines us. The Holy Spirit refines the spirit of our mind and he deals with our heart so that we can become productive sons and daughters of God's kingdom. Okay. In other words, we become kingdom. We are kingdom citizens, but he wants us to be productive citizens of his kingdom, just like in the natural. You raise up and you train your children so that things will go well with them, so they can be productive citizens, right? Well, it's the same with the kingdom. We grow up, we mature, we learn to live and apply the gospel, the godly principles in our life, so that things will go well with us. So that we can be productive kingdom citizens, so that we can be used by God to expand his kingdom in other people's lives. Alrighty? So it equips us to bring transformation to the lost and the dying world. Everyone should know how to share their faith in Jesus with others. When we live a life that's well-pleasing to the God, that goes well with us, people will take notice as we live a godly life. We're supposed to live in a way that people take notice and they want what we got. And when we have the fruits of God's righteousness and blessings based on us living according to his design, the worldly people that's in the world that's full of stress and all that stuff, they'll see the peace on us. They'll see the prosperity on us. They'll be like, what are you doing? Oh, we're serving Jesus. We're at peace. He's blessing us.
Hallelujah.
We're not going through the worldly stress. We're blessed. And so it should want them. You know, he said, let your light shine.
Mm-hmm.
See, light can be seen,
yes,
not heard. You do know that, right? Light is seen, not heard. So as people see our light shining, they'll want to know what we're doing. And what are we doing? We're living from the inside out. We got that word on the inside that's flowing up and outside, and everyone can see the change in our lives. And that change is a product of the word of God that we've sown in our hearts. Now, in 2 Timothy 2:6-7, very important that we understand what this is saying. Paul is speaking to young Timothy, saying that the hard-working farmer must first be partaker of the crops. In other words, we must be first fruits of what we say we believe. You say you're living godly, then you should be living godly and be the first fruits of the benefits of godly living. All right. So Paul says in verse 7, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So the way we get understanding in all things is become the first partaker of the word of God. In other words, to live it. Not just flap your mouth and flap your gums. Live godly. Live the word so to produce the benefits of the blessings of God's word in our life. So, time out for all of the flapping of the gums. It's time to get down to business and live this thing. Hypocrites do a lot of talking, but very little living. All right, let's get on now with the introduction. The parable of the growing seed, which is basically the foundational scripture for this particular teaching that we've been doing. In Mark 4:26-29, it reads, and he said, the kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground. And look what he says, and should sleep. Notice I got after that. Should what? Should rest and not stress. What do you see? I'm resting and I ain't stressing. Because it ain't my word, it's God's word. And this God, it's his job to manifest his word. It's my job to make sure I, you know, protect my heart with that word and abide in that word, and make sure that, that word that's in my heart is able to grow. I have some things that I have to do. So you have things you have to do to cultivate and make sure that word grows. So it says it should grow. So if it's not growing, he should sleep. So that means he should rest. Don't stress, because the seed grows on its own. Yeah. And it says by night and rise by day. And it says, and the seed should. See that word there? That's a conditional word. Should sprout and grow. So if it's not, something's wrong with the soil of a person's heart. Something's wrong with your heart that's causing the word not to grow if you've really sown it in your heart. So again, the word should is conditional. It's contingent upon us doing certain things. See, people just want the blessings of God, but they don't understand that it doesn't fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree. You got to cultivate that word in your heart. All right? So it says, he himself does not know how. I don't know how it grows. It just grows. Why? He says, because the earth, meaning our heart, yields crops of the word by itself. It just automatically knows what to do with that word. Your heart is like a ground. It's going to grow whatever's put in that, in that heart. Whatever's in your heart, it's going to grow up out of your life, and everyone's going to see what's in your heart. You know, people can try to hide what's in their heart. It's going to come out. It's just a matter of time. You know, you put some pressure on someone, you'll see if they really believe what the words say. Pressure is going to prove if you really, really believe what the word says. Yeah. Delay, time delay. When the enemy brings time delay, you believe in something, it don't happen in 2 days, 3 days, 3 months. We'll see if you really believe, if you're standing by faith. And I ain't going to say it's easy on your flesh. Your spirit man's like, yeah, we can stand here forever. But your flesh want to see it overnight. Next week. We want to see something next week. All right, let's move on here. So it says it yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain of the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts forth the sickle. Why? Because the harvest has come. God's promises of that word is now manifesting in your life. You abide in that word. Jesus said that he and the Father will manifest themselves. We got this teaching going out. Everybody talking about, I manifested that. You ain't no manifester. That's stupid. God manifests his word. I mean, if you could manifest something, what do you need God for? I mean, I don't need him if I can do it on my own. I'm just saying. Continuing on with the introduction in Galatians 6, 8 through 9, it reads, "For he who sows to his what? Flesh will reap corruption." This is what the Bible say. I didn't say it. It's up to other people. It's up to you to decide to accept what it says. You know. "But he who sows to the Spirit will reap, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So you can sow to your flesh, or you can sow to the Spirit, to your spirit man. Making sense? "And let us not grow weary." Look what he says. "And let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap," what? "If you faint not," or if you don't lose heart. So the reason people don't reap is because they faint, or they give up, they quit, they lose heart. Remember, this is growing from the inside out. And it takes time for things to grow. Everything's not going to manifest. The word is not going to manifest overnight. But if you rest and rise day and night, it manifests. In other words, you just got to be patient. You just live godly and enjoy your salvation. And everything you're believing, the word that you have planted in your heart will come to pass. Alrighty. So what we sow in our heart will grow and manifest in our lives, God, good or bad. The word of God is good seed. If we want to experience healing, deliverance, prosperity, our walk in our identity in Christ, we must sow those specific word seeds, watch this, from the scripture into our hearts. Now, I got this. This is important what I'm going to say. Religious cliches and worldly catchphrases are not the word of God. People hear something that sounds good. Oh, I felt that. That ain't got nothing to do with what the word of God said. You and your emotions, your flesh, your soul. Don't read that again. Religious cliches and worldly catchphrases are not the word of God. The word of God is chapter and verse of the Holy Bible that we call the canonized scriptures. They got together and voted, and they accepted what's in this Bible as the canonized scriptures. So they came into a place of agreement. So where they agreed, what they agreed on, God says, okay, bam, I'm going to put that as my word. So I don't listen to all this other Dead Sea Scrolls and all that junk. It's the canonized scriptures that God honors. Alrighty? The Holy Bible. Now there's different versions to try to get us to understand the heart of what's being said, but it's still the canonized scriptures. Alright? Alright, let's get into section one here. I did good on time. Section one is the roadside heart. This is real simple teaching today. I'm not trying to impress nobody. We here to bless people. And as remember, I was talking about understanding the ways of the kingdom. This is the ways of the kingdom. This is the way the kingdom works, and this is Jesus' teaching. So don't say you believe in God and you save, and you don't believe in applying the principles and the teachings of Jesus. You are deceived. So let's listen to what Jesus is teaching here. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it," does not what? Does not understand it. "Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown." Where? It was sown in the heart. "This is he who," what? "Receives seed by the wayside." So, what? This is what he doesn't understand. So this wayside is the area of where you don't understand. It's a lack of understanding. So when you don't understand the word, the enemy comes and snatches that word. And Jesus likened it unto the wayside. So you see, I have that picture up there. The wayside is the road that people walk on. See, they walk back in his day, and it packed down the dirt of the road, so you couldn't put no seed on it. It was going to be trampled over. It never could take root. It's like concrete. You throw seed on the concrete, that is not going to grow. Okay? So that's the wayside. So it's hard. The key is, he said, it's hard. But he said it was sown in his heart. So that means the heart is hard like a wayside, meaning Someone has been walking on that heart of that person. So this is a powerful. You get what he's getting at here. So what happens is when the devil has used life, circumstances, and people that have walked all over you, trodden you down, and left you hurt, what happens? Over time, these experiences make the heart hard and callous. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? That's what Jesus is teaching here. They become hard and callous, unforgiving, self-preserving, and bitter because they've been hurt. The heart's been walked on, been trodden on in life, circumstances. This person has a heart. This person has a hurt heart, and the seed of God's word cannot take root, so the devil snatches it, just like throwing seed on cement. So that should be a hurt heart. I didn't put hurt. That heart is hurt. It's wounded. And it just makes sense. You know, you try to say something, they don't want to hear it. I don't believe in God. That person is heart hurt. The enemy has hurt them. So they don't have a heart to hear the word. Now, this is why they don't understand the word, because the enemy has hurt their heart where they don't have a heart willing to understand. They don't have an ear to hear. Are you listening? And so when you try to help a person like that, what it does is causes problems because they're already hurt and wounded, and you anger them. Who are you judging? You don't know what I've been through. And so what am I giving you? I'm giving you wisdom. They don't have a heart to understand because the devil has wounded them deeply.
Yeah.
So what you have to do, only intercessory prayer, asking God to rain down his love on them and soften their hearts so that they can be willing to hear. And listen, I'm going to say something to you. When it comes to close friends and family, and for whatever reason, they ain't going to listen to you. You know, it's just the way family is. You know, they don't want to admit that they're wrong or walking, you know. The worst hurt that I've learned is family hurt. And so when a family has hurt you, people tend to really hold on to that anger and that bitterness, because family's not supposed to hurt you. So remember, see, we got to understand, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You know, when someone's parent died at a young age, they don't want to hear no God. They don't think God's real. Well, if God's real, you know, why he take my mom and my dad? See what I'm saying? I grew up in a foster home, in the foster system. Before that, I was in an orphanage, you know, because my mom had mental illness. I went into, you know, the system. And so it produces a hard heart of anger. I was mad at God. Why did I go through all of this if you love me? That don't make sense. But that's when he had to show me that he didn't do it, the devil did it. So it takes time for the heart to soften so that the word can get in the heart. Is that making sense to you? So if you don't understand it, if a person doesn't understand it, you're trying to force things on people that's already wounded, and you're just making it worse. So you just got to leave them alone. Only God can bring rain to soften the heart of people that's been hurt. So we intercede. Jesus is ever living to make intercession for us. So there's wisdom, people with wisdom. He brings people across people's paths, and that they'll begin to have a heart to listen. And before you know it, they're able to operate in forgiveness, and they'll give their life to Christ Jesus. Are you listening? Does that make sense? Continuing on, the roadside heart. This is why the Lord calls us to break up the flawed ground. In Jeremiah 4:23, it says, break up the flawed ground and do not, look what he says, do not sow among thorns. And Hosea 10:12, it says, break up your foul ground. Why? Look what it says. I like the comma. Whenever I say comma, I always say why, because he's going to add something to that thing. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So when the heart is hard and you're angry and you're frustrated, I've learned to tell God how you feel. God literally spoke that to me. I like honest faith. Honesty is telling God you're angry. Now that'll mess people up, but I did. Lord, I'm mad at you. I'm angry. I'm just flat out angry about things. I was angry about the church. I went to church for help. Instead, I got hurt. So I'm angry. I am angry with your church. I am angry with church folk. And so he began to deal with me in that area and told me, because the enemy got in there And a lot of people are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel means good news. It's the good news about Jesus Christ. They're preaching church. They're preaching church to you. Join the church. And they feel that when you join the church, you save. Well, that don't make you save. There's a lot of people going to church ain't saved at all. And so you expect people to be what they can't be. Only Jesus can be your savior. Is that making sense to you? And so God begins to rain down and soften the heart so they can get the word in their heart and get healed. First thing, you know, the anointing of Jesus was, it says he came to heal the brokenhearted. That's the anointing of Jesus. The first thing he has to do is heal the brokenhearted. That's that hardness, that roadside Christian. I mean, that roadside person that's been wounded. And a lot of people, you get a certain age, you cover it up. You don't let people know that you're wounded. And so you do things to try to compensate. A lot of people sin and do things because they're trying to compensate to make up for the wounds in life. They struggle with, you know, relationship after relationship. Why? Because they was wounded by someone and they've never really walked in forgiveness and gave their heart to God so that God can bring them someone that the person he's ordained to love them for who they are. All right, let's move on. That's enough on that. All right, ready? Continue with section one, the roadside heart. Just as a farmer must till the soil and make it ready for planting, we must allow the Holy Spirit to till the soil of our heart. Again, I said Holy Spirit does this. We can't do this in our own ability. I can't preach people into anything. I can tell them what the word says. The Holy Spirit takes that word and mends people's hearts and helps them. So prayer is the tool that breaks up hardness. I'll say that again. Prayer is the tool that breaks up the hardness, the hard, foul ground. When you pray, you're asking God to remove the junk, the pain, and the bitterness that has built up. Prayer tills the ground. Prayer brings healing, and prayer softens the heart so that you can and other people can receive the word of God. This is making sense to you. So prayer is always priority. Petitioning our Heavenly Father to help. There's people you may have hurt intentionally, and you're still trying to prove to them that you were sorry. You're wasting your time. Until you allow God to soften their heart to receive the healing that they need so that they can forgive, you're going to walk around being manipulated and controlled by the devil. So you get saved, and now it's hard for you to walk in your salvation because the enemy keeps using the things that you did in your past and how you hurt other people to make you walk in your condemnation. How do I handle that? Well, I shared this where I was in a relationship with someone and I did some bad things and, you know, I knew I hurt them. I prayed, Lord, will you heal their heart? Forgive me for what I did. Hurt people hurt people. You understand what I'm saying? Hurt people hurt people. So I was hurt. The devil was using and twisting and pulling my wounds of my own heart. My self-preservation. See, that's why people get into bad relationships. You don't understand that everyone is trying to have self-preservation. So they're going to hurt you before you hurt them because they've already been hurt. See what I'm saying? That's that hardness of their heart. And so you're trying to get in relationships with people that are actually in self-preservation mode. They just want to get theirs and they don't care if you get yours. And you know what I'm talking about. It's called self-preservation. But now you're still trying to believe that there's going to be a good relationship between you two. No. No, if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ and both of y'all are not coming to God, getting your hearts healed and mended and getting the word sown in your heart so that he can flourish through your life, it ain't going to work. It's not going to work, baby. All right. Section two, the rocky heart. Section two, the rocky heart. In a similar way, I'm looking at Mark 4, 7, 16 through 17. Jesus says, they're using the words of Jesus saying, in a similar way, these is in the second group are the ones on whom the seed was sown on rocky ground. So now we're talking about rocky ground, not hard ground, rocky ground. Who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. This is a lot of church folk. But accept it only superficially. They have no real root in themselves, so they endure only for a while, a little while. Then when, look at this, then when trouble and persecution come because of the word, immediately they are offended, are displeased at being associated with me, meaning with Jesus, and they stumble and fall away. So this is what Jesus was referring to This is what Jesus was referring to when he talked about Peter, that he would deny him three times. That is my note. Sorry, it ain't on the screen. Okay, I got a note side of the screen. Okay, I thought. But yeah, so when he was talking about he was offended and stumbled, offended and displeased for being associated with Jesus, he was alluding to this of what was going to happen with Peter when he when Jesus went to his passion and went to the cross. Peter denied him three times. He got offended. Persecution. So what happens is, and I did a teaching on this, how you have what's called retaliating spirits. You give your life to Jesus Christ and you get saved and everything is going great. Then notice that then things just start going crazy and haywire and bad, and you get offended and you walk out of church and you see all the problems of people. Everything was great, but then all of a sudden the devil started pointing out people's problems. Now you're having church fights and problems like that and things going on. What's happening? Those are retaliating spirits trying to get you back away from being saved. So you got to understand, when I talk about the kingdom's way, we're learning how this thing works so that we can be more effective in our own lives and be able to help other people be more effective in their life, their Christian life. And I said this is important. It's not what you're hearing in your church. It's what you're not hearing or you're not willing to hear. And we're going to talk about that. A lot of people, you know, somebody got wisdom, kingdom wisdom and knowledge that can help you be a better Christian, but you stuck on not wanting to hear it because you got rocks and weeds inside of your heart. See, you got to walk in forgiveness. And you got to be able, you got to trust other people's hearts that God has given a word from their personal life experiences that can help yours. You can't go to school for salvation. You can't go to school to live godly? I don't understand why people go to, see, you're going to school to learn how to preach. You know how to preach? Live godly and your life will preach. You get what I'm saying? Live godly and your life will be the message. Well, Brother Larry, how did you get through this? I got in the word. I did this. I did that. I trust God. I cried. See, you want somebody to get up there and say all that stuff to make you feel, I'll stop all that, man. I had to crucify my flesh. I still crucify my flesh. It ain't easy to come here every Sunday and Thursday and minister to empty seats. That's called discipline. That's called trusting God in the midst of when you don't see nothing working. Amen. Do you understand this? And so when it blow up your weight, you go, what did you do? Oh, there was times I wasn't sure. There was times I cried. God, I'm tired. I don't feel like doing this today, but I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for you, Jesus. Yes. I don't feel like praising you today. I'm tired, but I'm going to make myself praise you. I trust you anyway. Glory to God. I'm trying to help you, man. That's why I listen to men that have walked through the path already and they share with me how they got through it. Yeah, it ain't always going to be peaches and creams, baby. Huh? Okay, I'm just trying to help you, man. Praise the Lord. I don't care, you know. One of the things I have come to a place, I don't give a rat's rump no more. I'm like, struggle on. So, in Luke 22:31-34, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Why? That he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith should fail not. So Jesus ever liveth to intercede. What? That our faith fail not. But Satan always seeks to try to pull us away from Jesus, away from the lover of our soul. And so when you got rocks in your heart, the word can't take root. And notice he said to shift you as wheat. Anybody ever baked the cake before from scratch? You put the flour in there and you put it through the shifter to make that thing shift. And they, oh, glory to God, that cake going to be good. Cake going to be good. You know, grandmamas. And hey, it is Thanksgiving time when they make that thing from scratch. That's what Jesus is getting at here. See, you can't sow in a garden or soil that's still filled with rocks. You got to get that shifted out. You got to get them rocks out, or it won't take root. I talked about when I was cutting grass, it was this lady that had a brand new house, a new build, and she had a patch of grass right in the front yard, right by her driveway. She's, you know, is off to her left. She drives to her driveway. It's a patch of grass that always stayed brown. You know, rest of it was beautiful Kentucky bluegrass. Me, I stand up, man, I make that thing stripe out. She asked me, you know, what's up with this spot here? And I had to tell her, I said, it's got rocks in it. So I got my long screwdriver and I put it in the grassy area that was pretty and luscious. And it was about, you know, I had a pretty long screwdriver and that thing just went straight down. Then I pulled it out and I went to the area where the grass was yellow and burnt and wasn't really growing. And I stuck it and it went down and it stopped. And I see that? I said, that's rocks in there. So what they do is in the new build, they will clean the gravel off and the dirt and stuff, and they'll slide it over into the area of the grass and they'll throw some sod on top of it. What, it can't take root because there's gravel down in there. You know, the runoff gravel when they poured the driveway and so in the walkway. And so I explained, I said, the only way to get that out, you're going to have to tell the new builder to come get it out. Get that, reshift that dirt and put some new sod down in there. Mm-hmm. All righty? So it's the same with us. Those rocks and things in our life, those hard areas that's still in there. You got to break up those clods. You got to get that area in your heart ready to go. Now, verse 32, he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. So after the foul ground is broken up, it's soft and you receive salvation. You see the process here? Now you believe in Jesus, you save, but now you still got hard areas still from the broken up clotted ground. The seed went in there, but now it couldn't take root. You're happy. So you got to get that cleaned out. Areas where you won't still forgive. Areas of soulish issues that you don't want to let the Holy Spirit deal with in your life. Some of you that God's trying to get you out of that church you grew up in all your life or you were married in, because the work he's done is you've graduated from that, but you got a hard areas in your heart where you don't want to leave. So you stay stuck. You don't like who God has chosen to be your pastor. Well, you're going to stay stuck. And this is for me. You know, I didn't like the man of God that he told me to come up under. You know, initially, but I love him now because, man, that thing popping in me. I said, oh, I see what he's saying. You understand? I mean, this is real. This is real stuff because I hear his heart. I got all of his teaching tapes and I listen to his heart and he talking about stuff of his personal life. And I, oh, yeah, I see that, Lord, how he had to walk in forgiveness and things of that nature. You know, he grew up in the South where he couldn't drink at the water fountain. So he had all that anger and bitterness. So it ministers to me to help me get deliverance. And so a lot of times you're looking for someone that is really educated, that speak well, that makes you feel great. It's about life lessons that make you grow. Oh, my God, that's good stuff. And you do not, and I'm going to say this, you do not get healed because you serve in the church. And a lot of religious circles teach that to keep you there. You get healed when you believe in Jesus as your healer. To work in the church means you're working and earning your healing. And that's not the way it works. And so you're being deceived and lied to because they want numbers. They don't want you to go nowhere. All right. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And he said to him, I tell you, Peter, that the rooster shall not crow this day before you. You will deny me three times that you know me. And we know that happened. All righty, continuing on with the rocky heart. Jesus recognized that there were areas in Peter's heart that hindered his ability to take deep root as an apostle. The enemy sought to pull him back and cause him to deny Christ. But Jesus assured Peter that he had prayed for his faith not to fail. In this trial, Peter would be shifted like wheat, refined through testing. This is the gospel. We're refined through testing. Am I not teaching better? It's called being refined by testing. This is the way it works. You can't get around it because he wants to produce a harvest in your life. I don't want to do that. If you remember, you're being refined by testing and proving and pruning you and making you better. You're bound by something. You got tethered. You got entanglements. Okay, that's the next part. But Jesus answered Peter that he had prayed for his faith not fail. In his trial, Peter would be shifted like wheat, refined through testing. When the trial was complete, that's why it says the testing or the trying of your faith is precious to God. The soil of his heart would be purified. God picks fights for you, but you can win. He will not put you in a fight that you can't win. Amen. That's just the way this, well, and to take good root, so the soul of his heart would be purified and to be able to take good root of that word, and he would grow into his true identity and purpose in Christ. Religious systems steal your identity and your purpose. All right, section two still, the rocky heart. In Matthew 13, 20 through 21, it says, the one, I like this because I like the way this reads. The one on whom seed was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and at once welcomes it with joy. Oh, running around the church, having a fit, talking about how good God is and he's good. But yet he has no substance. Substantial root in himself. But is only temporary. It's only temporary. You know, that's why, you know, you go to church and one Sunday you get this message, you need another Sunday to charge you up. It's like you're going to get a charge. What's the problem? The problem is there's no substance that's being rooted in your life. The way I'm teaching is the way Jesus taught. He methodically began to teach people the kingdom way of doing things so that the people can put it to practice and grow. There was a group of people that stayed with him for 3 days and didn't eat, listening to him teach. Talking about long-winded. You're talking about long-winded. And, Brother Larry, I don't think you should teach so long. Oh, shut up. People that love the word is going to listen to the word. And I listen to people to teach for 2 hours. Why? Because I'm mature. You know, when you mature and you go to college, you'll go to a college or a university, you might have a 2 or 3 hour class. See, that's called maturity. When you're a child, you know, you just pump me up real good so I can go out. Well, you're still childish. That's okay. But at some point, God says, I'm about to grow you up. Yeah. And you're like, well, I'm going through this trial. I'm telling you why. He's trying to grow you up. Trying to get you where you need to be so you can be all he needs you to be. That's the purpose of the trial. It's to move your butt from where you at so you can grow. And you know what? The sixth grade teacher don't get upset with the eighth and ninth grade teachers. So you pastors got to stop hoarding God's people. They done graduated from your church and they need to get somewhere so they can grow. See, people scared to talk that way. But it's the truth. All right, well, I Lord said what he need to say on that. You know, I never would agree. We never would agree. We wouldn't have moved when God told us to move. Cut the cord. He told me, cut the cord. Cut the cord. I'm happy where I'm at, Lord. Now cut the cord. It wasn't personal. It wasn't about the person. It wasn't about the pastor being a bad pastor. The pastor was doing his job, preaching the message that God assigned him to preach. Do you understand what I'm saying? But God's like, I want you to go over here because I have a divine purpose for you. And this person has what you need to learn so you can grow and be all that you need to be for me. You see what I'm saying? Brother Hagin had this. He talked about this when he pastored for like 15 years, I think he said. Every year he would have a releasing service where he would release the people. You know, you may want to consult God to see, you know, if he wants you to move somewhere else. See, these wise men knew how the kingdom operated. It's like a school. And so This is going to help you. When you got rocks in your heart, you get mad about things and you leave with a bad spirit. And when you leave with a bad spirit, you bring that bad spirit to the next fellowship and to the next fellowship. No, the problem with you is you got areas in your heart that you won't let God deal with. And you never leave. Like, you know, people come in here. If you, and I've had that. If you standing here telling me about your last pastor, how bad they were, I already know. You're going to say the same thing about me. I don't even want you here. Don't even come here telling me how bad your pastor was. No, you was the problem. Because you're not mature enough to understand that he's not a bad pastor. He's done his job. It's time to move on and grow. But instead you get angry because, you know, he ain't doing it the way you want it done. Because you got a witchcraft spirit, a Jezebel spirit trying to control the church. And he had to do what he had to do to get you out of there. Now, it's for somebody. Look what he says here, verse 20 again. Is this making sense to you? This is how we grow up. It's time to grow up. Find where you fit so you can flourish. Amen. Stop sitting around your table at home in the kitchen talking about people. Talking about what's so hot, that what they need to do is they need to do that. God didn't give you the vision. He gave that man of God the vision. Hopefully they got a vision. You know. Praise the Lord. The one on whom seed sown on the rocky ground is the one who hears the word and at once welcomes it with joy. Yet he has no substantial root inside of himself, but only temporary. And when pressure and persecution arises, see that? Pressure and persecution arises, persecution comes because of the word. Why is it coming? Because of the word. Immediately he stumbles and falls. And I like this. Abandon the one who is the source of salvation. People must get rooted in Jesus or they will backslide. People backslide because they're not rooted in Jesus. They get rooted in a denominational or church activity or position. Some people love their position of service in the church more than living godly and growing. And you got the cart before the horse. Effective service and ministry is a product of your godly living and spending time at the feet of Jesus. You can't effectively serve, minister, or do anything if you don't have personal fellowship time with the Lord, letting God deal with your heart about your personal issues instead of preaching and praying on other people that you are thinking got problems. Yep. Huh? You heard. All right, section 3, the thorny heart. The thorny heart, the thorny heart. In Matthew 13, 20 through 21, it says, the one on whom seed was sown on rocky ground. Oh, wrong one. No, I'm sorry, I didn't shift that over in my notes. I got to read from here. Mark 4, 16 through 17, Amplified. And the others are the ones with whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries, look at this, the worries and the cares of the world, the distractions of this age with its worldly pressures, this is demonic pressures, worldly pressures, and the deceitfulness and the false securities of glamour and wealth or fame, and the passionate desires of other things creep in and does what? Choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Jesus is essentially saying the word cannot flourish in a heart overrun with weeds. That's why in Jeremiah 4:3 it says, break up the foul ground and, I got this highlight, do not sow among thorns. God had to teach me this. Thorny people that got thorns are people that want things done their way in the church. If you ain't doing what they think you should do, they give you suggestions, oh, pastor, I think, and the Lord telling me this. And then they get upset when you don't do it. Well, I'm leaving. Well, leave. Because they come in with this preconceived ideal of the way they feel that local church should be ran. And God sent them there to learn. But what happens is they got areas in their heart that is not of God planted in their heart. I just got to say it. They got a religious mindset in ways that will choke out truth that you're trying to get them to see in the kingdom so that they can actually grow and flourish. They start learning and this, that, and the other, and here come the enemy attacking them. There's weeds there, other things. And one of the things I notice about leaders are people that are called. You get so determined to operate in your ministry that you don't understand that to be an effective leader, you must learn how to be led. And you must accept the person that God chooses to oversee your life. They're the right person. They're going to keep your heart right. See, you know, it took me a minute to figure out why people didn't really like me. Because I had a spiritual father that kept my heart right. And when he died, I didn't have nobody checking me. Do you understand this? We found out it's been 15 years since he's been home with the Lord. So he had nobody. God didn't have nobody to check me, to deal with my heart. A father's spirit deals with the heart of the son. I don't care how old you get, he's going to deal with your heart. Because it doesn't matter how gifted you are. If you got a heart that is not right and pure towards the Lord, you're going to mess your life up. You understand that? And so it really made me realize, you know, God had to show me. It's like, no, people got issues in their heart. And you challenge those issues and they don't like it. But that's a true pastor's heart with a fathering mentality. No, you can't live this way, boo-boo. I love you, but you're going the wrong way. That's not godly. But you trying to shut down my ministry. No, I'm not trying to shut your ministry down. I'm trying to get you to flourish in your ministry. Stop preaching that religious garbage and preach Jesus to people. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Call up in all this other foolishness. Trying to be a prophet when you're not called to be a prophet. You're called to be an evangelist. Okay. So you don't want nobody to hit you and keep your heart pure. But see, I that's just the way it works. So look. So you must remove and control the weeds, or it will kill and destroy what has been planted in your heart. It'll choke it out. And so you see, I got that little weed there, that plant. It's literally choking it. Looks like a corn stalk. But it's so embedded with weeds, it's useless. It's going to choke it out. It's never going to grow. You see that? See that photo there? It's not going to grow. That's demonic. It's done. You literally got to rip the whole thing out and plant again next season. And so this is how you grow. You should want to be a pastor that's going to keep check on you and make sure you're growing and put that word on you. That's I like a man of God that's going to put the word on me. That's going to tell me when I'm wrong. That's going to tell me now you're missing God. It ain't about your gift. It's about the character and the integrity of your heart. And you got people that don't want nobody to keep their character and integrity intact. That's the biggest problem. Well, man, I grew up in church all my life. That's pride speaking. You're prideful. You can't tell me I grew up in church. That's pride. And pride goes before fall. The thorny heart, we're about done. Well, we're done. This is the last slide. The thorns Jesus spoke about also are worries about life, family pressures, work issues, bills, constant worldly news about problems and the government that creates stress and anxiety. This is all weeds that choke stuff out of your life. The mind gets bombarded with problems and distractions, pulling your focus away from the Word of God. People in leadership get so bound up and trying to so determined to serve and get yeah, I'm going to do this ministry. I don't care what people say. I don't care what reverends say. So you have all these cares. See, I've learned not to care about the ministry. It'll kill you. And I thank God he started me from ground zero. Because the stress of trying to carry the weight, you're not supposed to carry the weight. I've learned it ain't my responsibility to get people to come to Jesus. That's God's job. My job is to preach the word and teach Jesus. And as we do that, and as we stay abiding in him, Yeah. It's God's responsibility to cause people to come. It's not my responsibility. I can rack my brain all day and come up with all the, he told me, he said, don't even think about asking me for some marketing strategy. He said, he spoke very clearly, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What? Revelation knowledge of you. You stand there and you talk about my son Jesus, and I will fill that place up. You just be determined to not move from saying, teaching and explaining the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. Mm-hmm. You understand? He knows the sheep that are his, and he knows how to shift them around and get them where they need to be. And so he had to teach me this stuff. And I'm getting good and proficient at it. Go home and relax. And my wife made some pie. I might eat some of her pie. Yeah, that's good. So instead of going strong, the seed of God's word gets... I'm saying this about myself because you got to understand this. This is the way it works. Trust the Lord. And don't stress out. I don't listen to all that junk on TV. I don't care about President Trump. The Bible is very clear. It says, pray for those in leadership. Read the scriptures that you might live in peace. I don't have to agree with I am of the kingdom of God. I'm a kingdom citizen. I don't care about that stuff. Jesus provides for me. If you're not being provided for, you, that's because you ain't saved, and you need to get saved and get into the kingdom, and all your needs will be met because God promised it. Stop. You know what? I'm gonna end on that. Praise the Lord. We're done. We're gonna come back on Sunday because we won't have fellowship on Thursday night as we usually do. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, I thank you for being able to share this word today. I think it's going to get to the people that it needs to get to, so they can hear it, grow, and be free in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I pray that you are all blessed.